Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Praise the Lord. You're welcome in Jesus' name. I want to welcome everybody. Oh, yeah. Mataliba, Roska, Fero, Nebata. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, ho, ho, ho. Sikibara, no kadeva, roba dega, lega rota, te parona, he kalipa. Sketolo prekeli eto kasule te prikatoste prentolo predikatora de iborotona ikete borodona siketoporodena isseke porotona siketoporodena esi supokora hadie dobosa yeketoporote ikemakatokoloro ekti kakotoposi kiferotanaha Arete ke katus ke paru alita pregete te banatos ki levrete tope pe petekes ki porotane pe ketipat ektona posi painte ke di porapate paint periketo porte pat pete paint the part you can paint the part in order to paint the part paint the part paint the part kene no kotosti praktekila torosi torose sifateri alorteretisi soklorote indias keli proptalia teriandoska preteki ketondo etebenahi ekate oh ho 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 site poradi alahate ejekaduta librani endeskalo todeha eteketi prostanavaya. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Min Yusuf. Sani anima shofe inuwa ti azai ni okopopini oni akaini mini ata sabai ni ali amai ni osi ni ati ya ni ukaba. Mikete 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 ni ukaba. For I'm bringing grace. I'm making grace. I'm causing grace even to fall upon your lips. I'm causing even words to come upon even the platform and the canvas of your heart, even to paint, 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 even things that makes even for salvation, even the path of salvation, even everlasting life, even everlasting life, even everlasting life. For I'm opening even new inks in the spirit, even new inks in the spirit, ink even for which to paint, ink for which to make known, even upon the canvas of the heart of my people. I'm bringing even inspiration, I'm bringing even wisdom, I'm bringing even words, words to paint, even paint better, even paint clearer, even making more vivid things that makes for the path of everlasting life. Even the walk of everlasting life, even the conversation of everlasting life. I've come with more ink. I've come with more spirit. I've come with more words. I've come even with more wisdom, even more grace for to paint, 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 make known, teach, preach, paint, that my people might see even things that make for their path, even their path unto salvation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. I come before you trembling. I come before you helpless. I ask that you will help me, even as you have spoken. I believe and I receive
every word that you have spoken. And Lord, you help me to speak, even aligning with what you're saying. Inspire me within. Inspire every breath. Inspire every word. I just submit to the authority of the Spirit, authority of you, Lord Jesus, aligning with the ministering spirit that is here today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Let Jesus be lifted. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be exalted, even in our hearts today. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We give God praise. All right, let's go to the book of Hebrews. That's what we've been considering. We've been looking at the conversations of everlasting life. The conversations of everlasting life. And yeah, this is a waters that we cannot we can't finish. What I mean finish is, I'm talking about the emphasis of the conversation, because that's what all the scriptures are filled with. One of the things that excite me about the scriptures is the God at sundry times and in diverse manners speak. Now, one of the manners of God speaking, which is part of what we find in the scripture, very strong, one of the manners of God speaking is the demonstration of the word. The demonstration of the word. If I remember when I began this series some weeks ago, I began to talk about it, how that God will, there is a word he wants to say, or certain things that has to be said in a season, and then to bring it to the realm of man, because in the realm that God is, if he says it, no being will understand it. Because the things that he is going to be, or the things that are being talked about, are the things that are majestic. They are the things that are very high. They are things that are hidden. You know, something can be hidden even while being said. You know, Jesus spoke parables, and they asked him, why do you speak in parable? And he told them, he said, because to them it's not given to know. You can make many things out of those parables, but you might not know the very word of God, the tossier the Lord that is in that parable. That's one of the things about the I'll call it the technicalities of the spirit of prophecy. You can make many things out of the parables, but you might not get the, there's what's called the word of God. The word of God, which I will call in my own terms, the voice of the Lord. Which we hear in the book of Psalms, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. That many waters are the scriptures. But the voice of the Lord are upon these many waters. Our scriptures are waters. Scriptures are waters, not one water, waters. They are waters. Like I said, if the voice of an angel can be voice of many waters, then what of Bible? They are just demonstrating something. So scriptures are waters. They are waters of everlasting life. They are waters of eternal life also. They are waters of Christ in the scriptures. They are waters, amen, words that convey, that's what we call water, words that will be able to carry a voice, words that will be able to carry the voice. The voice here is basically what I call the word of God, or tosia the Lord, or another word for it, the revelation. Look at the way, I love the way Balaam said. You know, Balaam took, you know, his he took his parable. It was even parable. Can you imagine that? This is Balaam was saying was parable. That was parable. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he had said. You know, he was saying his parable, but in that parable is the word of God. He has said, which heard the words of God. He has said, which had the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty. So you can see the degree of the word that he carried. Now, how are you able to tell how of the type, because the voice is upon many waters. How are you able to tell the water that is gushing out in a season is basically the word that is able to convey, or the revelation that is able to convey. That's how you can tell that particular water. Now, in the spirit, if you're a minister of the gospel, you should be able to know when they bring us into water. A water. Amen. 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 They bring us into water. And they can bring us from one water to another water. Amen. Because there are many waters. So they can bring us from one water to another water. Now, when a water comes, look for the voice. Because there's a voice upon that water. So here we began to see that the voice that was upon the water which Balaam carried was the voice, or what you call the revelation of the Almighty, which is the revelation of the living God. That guy traveled, though. That guy traveled in the spirit. That's why it only had to take, in fact, like our daddy reverend would say, with the Amalekites, Moses knew what to do. With the nations that they crossed and they had to confront, Moses knew what to do. For the Amalekites, he raised his hands and then they were holding his hand so that, you know, they could, Joshua and the armies of Israel could conquer. But with Balaam, Moses didn't know what to do. Because this guy was a prophet that has the everlasting oracle of the everlasting. He had the revelation of the Almighty. And if that is the reason why Balak will borrow him to come and curse Israel. Because he knows that if he places a curse upon a people or a nation, it will only take an oracle of equal proportion or higher to be able to overturn it. So Moses didn't do anything. Now, that does that give you a picture? Like, does that give you a picture? The picture it gives me is a picture of Michael and the devil. So there we begin to see a conversation that can actually defeat Satan. You know, it will take scripture demonstrating to be able to see that there is a conversation that can defeat the dragon.
So he didn't do anything. He didn't even pray. We didn't hear that he prayed. I'm sure he will pray. And if at all there was prayer, he was praying. I'm not sure he was praying and binding. That would be too low. To be binding a prophet of this caliber that had the word of the Almighty. You're wasting your time. You won't even find him. You won't locate him in the spirit. A man that knows where God dwells, that knows how to call God, and God must answer. That guy was, I'm sorry to use the word, that guy was bad. You know when you say something is bad, it's not bad as in bad, but bad as in the thing is terrific. Balaam. Now to now know that what he was doing was, it was actually a parable. And upon that parable, you can find his water. You can find his water. His water was the water of the, upon the water, you can find the voice, which is the revelation, which he called the vision. The vision of the Almighty. That vision of the Almighty is a revelation of the Almighty. The understanding of the Almighty. So that describes the kind of water. Because the water that will be able to carry the voice of the Almighty has to also be a water that has everlasting strength. Because waters have their strength. It must be a water that has an everlasting strength to be able to carry the word of God and the understanding of the Almighty. Now, he now described himself, he said, falling into a trance. Now, it doesn't happen. When you fall into trance, your eyes are closed. But he falls into trance, having his eyes open. Let me describe to you what it means here. It might not necessarily mean that he has his eyes open like this when he falls into a trance. It will simply mean that when he falls into a trance, Peter went into a trance, didn't understand what? He didn't understand what that trance was all about. I'm sure if Peter has his eyes opened, he would have said, Lord, which one do I kill? Where do I start from? Can I eat all? But because his eyes were not open, so he did not. But Balaam was so raised a prophet that in trance, he had understanding. You can't hide dark sentences from him. Now, a man who can bring parable has to be a man, because parable is actually tying things together. You can, in parable is a skill of the spirit. You can tie many things together in a parable. So for you to be a man that has parable, you're a man that has waters. You're a man that has waters. For when you see Jesus, you know Jesus has not one water. Waters. All the waters. In fact, him is the one that actually has the voice of many waters. Can I show you what I mean by the voice of? You know, the Lord is speaking. Now, there are churches that are following him in this light. How many are they? They are at least the one we know we are. But you know, he's speaking there right now. He's speaking there right now. Can I also tell you that there are churches that are not in this light that are genuinely in milk, faith churches. Do you know he's also speaking there? And can I shock you also that there are also churches that are not even so well in milk. He will also speak there. Can I go further and shock you? That there are churches that will preach 30 minutes message. In that 30 minutes, Jesus will squeeze his own. Because those people who are there are his people. Maybe there is just one word somebody will hear and will correct that person. That's a great shepherd. That's the great shepherd of the sheep. He knows the waters. No, he can't bring everybody to steal water at once. He has water. So he knows before he can bring you to steal water, you know, he lead me in the that steal water brethren, you know, the steal water brethren, they are the ones he's leading in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. There are those who is leading the path of righteousness to be able to inherit his name. So the leading there is the leading for name. So that Psalm 23 is actually an everlasting psalm. It's describing everlasting man, or man who is being led unto everlasting life. Make me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. So he has still water. Amen. Amen. He has still water. And he has many waters. As long as his church, anywhere you gather, you call it church, he has water. As long as they open this thing. Except if they are not opening this. He has water. Amen. But now, we are now saying what manner of water. The manner of water, you can know the manner of water by the voice that is upon that water. Now, what we refer to as the voice is the revelation. Amen. Is what? The revelation. The revelation that is upon that water is the will show you the manner of water that it is. Because there is living water. Can we check this water thing a little bit? We find it in the book of Revelation. Amen. All over the book of Revelation. So he told the woman, that was a woman at the well. I like that. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and he that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Amen. He would have given you what? But was that what Jesus gave to him, to her? No, she can't drink that at that moment. Jesus gave her something lesser than living water. Amen. Jesus gave her what? Something lesser than. If you ask me, what Jesus gave her was waters of the word of faith. Because that what he demonstrated by that. So you can see demonstration of the word upon the water. When he told her that, see, you've married this number of people. And the person you are now with is not your husband. That's word of knowledge, isn't it? That's word of knowledge. And the woman was shocked. That water, if you've ever used, maybe you've used gift of the Spirit to evangelize. I don't know why that thing is not so much. I wish it could be so much, but people will get convicted. But I know one of the reasons why the Lord doesn't, if you ask me, one of the reasons why the Lord won't use it is that he wants them to believe the gospel. He wants them to believe without seeing a sign. Because by the time you tell somebody, you're preaching to him, maybe you're preaching to the person you met on the way. You know, that's what those celeb prophets used to capture people. Your heart will just open. Now, Jesus will not always do that. He wants your heart to be open to his person, not his gift. But you know me as a man, I desire where maybe you're preaching to somebody, you know, I was just thinking of something, you know, sorry, my mind can be somehow sometimes. I was just thinking of maybe going into interview with, I will not do that. I won't even accept that. You know, the media inviting you for interview. Maybe somebody like Amam Paul. Christy Amam Paul. The one that everybody fears. Even preachers fear her. And calls you for an interview. And is asking you some of those funny questions. And I'll begin to tell her about her life. The things that has happened that made her hate God so much. I can tell you, that manifestation, before the whole world, she can break down crying. Or she can slam at you and hate you and, you know, because that's the two things that can happen. Either the person gets convicted and bow to the Lord, or the person hardens even further. And so I now know why God will not quickly bring such manifestation, because somebody can harden and quickly seal himself to perdition. So he will be gentle with you, bring the word to you. Jesus died for you. And you know, he looks so weak. That kind of gospel looks so weak. But that's water. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. He paid for your sins. You know, there's a generation. I've forgotten how the Bible put it. I think it's one of the prophets. He said, whose sins are not cleansed. You always quote that scripture. They are right in their own eyes. And their iniquities. That's what? Proverbs. That's the generation we are in. Proverbs 30. What? Let's look at it. He said, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes. That's this generation. If there's any generation that is like that, it's this generation. That are pure in their own eyes. Eyes, and yet is not washed from their fields. You know, Jesus told that, he said, because he saw the Pharisees, because you say you see, your sins remain. This is what he was quoting. This is what he was referring to. Because you say you see, because that seeing is not the seeing that the Son of God enlightened you to see. This is the seeing that you chose to see. This is the sight that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil gives. Now, it prevents one from being purged or washed from his field, because you need to realize. So when they preach the gospel to you, what they are preaching to you, that's when we preach the gospel to you, the gospel of salvation, the beginning of the gospel as it were. What it is supposed to do to you is to bring you to the point where you will, you know, be convicted. But no, some people are, by reason of their walk in iniquity, in death, are stronger than certain level of conviction that a water can bring. Because that's the essence of water. The essence of water, the voice that is upon that water, is to bring conviction. But some people can, there are some waters you bring. So you can see why the everlasting gospel is being exalted. Because to confront men, they've drank also waters. So to confront what they have on their inside, you need to now bring in the everlasting. I like that. He called it river or water of life. Amen. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, this water here, that's the closing water. I call it the epilogue. That's the closing water. Amen. 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 Now, you can't drink this water when you've not drank the previous water. This water, what I'm referring to here is, this is the water of eternal life. This is the water of the very throne. How? There is a word or a revelation or Thus saith the Lord. Now, thus saith the Lord is not prophecy concerning your future or whatever. It's prophecy called the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony. Now, when you get here, what you're seeing is the voice that is upon the water. This water is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's a spirit of prophecy. That's a testimony of Jesus Christ. I love this. He called it pure river of water of life. Then he now described it clear as crystal. Coming from where? Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So you can see where it's coming from. So in other words, it means that every water that is coming, or what this water is coming with, what the voice that is upon this water is the voice of eternal life. Now, do you know that there's coming a day when you will hear it? There's coming a day we will hear this. I call it the last water, and upon it is the last voice. So there are waters and there are voices. There are waters and there are voices. Now, this is the last voice. Why is it? Because it coincides with the last trump. Meaning, these are the last sayings of God. This was the one that angel stood and said, there should be time no longer, that at the time of the ministration of these angels, the revelation of God should be finished. That's the last voice. The time of the prophecy of this, look at it. But in the days of the voice, are you seeing it? Voice, 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 voice. See, the Lord, there's coming a day. For there is coming a day. There is coming a day. For this voice has its day, which will be ushered, which will be brought, even the day of God. For there is the day that precedes even the day of God, yea, the day of the Lord. But there is the day of God. Yea, and many shall hear this voice, and many will hear this voice. For you see, the time of your training, the time of your growth, the time of your processing, the time of your walk is to prepare you for this last voice, is to prepare you for this last voice. For he that will hear this last voice will be sealed finally. For everyone who will hear these last sayings, even the sayings of God, the sayings of God, even this voice of God, yea, such a one will enter. Such a one will enter. Such a one will enter. And such a one will lay hold even on the gift of God. It's called in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. So, you see, these things are together with spirits. When I mean angels, that's why their voice is voice of many waters. For certain waters to come to us, they need to sound. That sound means announcement in the realm of the spirit.
There can't be announcements in the realm of the Spirit when the Holy Ghost is not saying it. And the Holy Ghost will say it when the throne has not authorized it. The throne has to authorize it. And when the throne authorizes it, then the angel, because when you read in the book of Revelation, that was the activities. There is no angel that actually did his own thing, his own way, or wanted to just show, okay. No, all of them had to be authorized. The ones that blew the trumpet, we are authorized. The ones that carried the vial, we are authorized. Every activity that you find in the book of Revelation was with the authority of he that sat upon the throne. In fact, he wouldn't even authorize that. He had to authorize that, begin to authorize that, when the Lamb arrived on the throne. Meaning like, say, when the Lamb arrived on the throne, then he authorized the waters that will bring the process of salvation to the people of God. Amen. We give God praise for the Lamb. Thank God for the Lamb. When are we going to talk about the sacrifices of the Lamb, the sacrifices of the Lord? We can't understand it. Oh, we can't understand. We can't understand that the sitting position that he seated is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to sit there. So it means that God, who has been sitting there, has been sacrificing. You can't come and sit on the throne if you're not a sacrifice. So it means that if we are going to sit on the throne, they will also prepare us as sacrifices. But I'm saying something this morning, that it has to take, amen, the throne to authorize before these angels can sound. And once these angels begin to sound, the next thing you see is that the waters will begin to come. Well, the wellspring from on high can't visit us. It's from on high. It's from on high. The wellspring from on high cannot visit us without the throne authorizing it. No water comes to the earth without the throne. I'm talking about the waters of this degree, because they are spiritual waters. I'm not talking about physical waters. They are spiritual waters. No water of this degree comes to us without the throne authorizing it. I'm talking about the waters that he that sat upon the throne. Because it's those waters that ushers in, that brings the activities of salvation. Because the throne is purely for salvation. Amen. The throne is purely for what? So in the days of the seven angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery, can you say mystery? So when they begin to sound, then that time, so the mystery of God has a day. Because the mystery of God is actually, in it is the voice. There's a voice you will hear. You know, John said, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard a voice that said to me, come up hither. He had a voice that said to me, come up hither. So, in this mystery, I want to show you, give it back to, take us back there, Revelation 22. Now, it's called the mystery of God. Now, remember in the book of Colossians chapter 2, we talked about the mystery of God, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of who? Can we say it again? Can we say it again? So, these mysteries, you find them in their waters. They have waters that carry them. Are you following me? They have waters that carry them. So you'll find it. You can't find it outside their water. That's why I like that song they started with. He brought me out upon the waters. Those guys sang. Somehow I believe they don't know what they are singing. Those songs are highly revelational.
He brought me out upon the waters. He called it the great unknown. How did they know? Because there's a realm that is really the unknown, where you find the unknown tongue. You know, there's another tongue, but there is unknown tongue. Amen. Am I saying something? Do you believe what I just said now? He called it the great unknown. And there, feet may fail. It's possible that feet, he that thinketh he stands, take heed lest you fall. Feet may fail. And he's in that water, there in that water, there in that, I find you in the mystery. Hell. I'm explaining their song. Now, I want to say it only takes somebody who has been exposed to the word of righteousness to be able to understand and appreciate songs when they are being sung. You know, these ones, we are still just singing them. By the time the songs that the Lord is giving to us, a priest is a beast. Go and sing it outside. They will stone you. Because it's a song meant for a company. I don't know whether you understand me. It's a song meant for a company. It's a song meant for those who are upward mobile towards those who are seeing everlasting life and eternal life. You know, in the days of Hagin, they had their song. They sang songs. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, that was a song that, you know, that water, because waters are also, they produce songs from waters. Am I saying something, Larry? They produce songs from waters. Or songs come from waters. I just remember those days when you read those books, some of those, what do you call those books? Doctrine of Demons book. You see some people say that they were delivered from marine spirits. And in their world, they have songs that has not come to earth yet. And when they say it, some believers are... Now, I used to remember those days, in those early days of Pentecost, when there was still a whole lot of religion. You can't bring instruments into church. Oh, you did. Some of you were not. You didn't attend. You can't bring instruments to church. Amen. It has to be pure. Unadulterated. We have come unto the Lord. We have come unto the Lord. We have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. We have come unto the Lord. We have come unto the Lord. We have come to the Father. Amen. But can I tell you something? The Lord was pleased. If you know the Lord, the Lord was pleased. Well, after a while, the Lord will say, an instrument. So you say, add guitar.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A good, 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 good Father. A good, good, good Father. A 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 good Father who is mindful even of His children. Mindful of all of His children. Mindful of all of His children. A Father of the big. A Father of the small. Mindful of all His children. Trained even by God, for the very same God who has within Him the expression of the sun, a sun that shines so bright, bigger than every planet, is the same God that has within Him an ant, an insignificant ant. For He goes with the big and He goes with the small. He is the God of all. He is the God of all. And you also learn, even as you follow Him, even to condescend, to relate with all the way He relates with all. He relates with all. He turns away no one. For everyone, no matter how far, as long as he's turned towards His direction, even the Lord also turns to His direction. He turns to the direction of anyone that will turn to His direction. Yea, He's the God of all flesh. He's the God of all flesh. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus. And He taught Jesus this kind of heart, that can relate with all. That is maturity. That is salvation at work, where you can relate even with the church. One church, many members, one church that has one head. Them that have eyes, them that have been gifted with eyes, are also being gifted with the capacity to relate with the one church, relate with the body, even with the right heart. It's the right heart that makes him a savior. He can save anyone. And He's raising you also to be saviors after His manner, after His own manner. You can go anywhere. You can save anyone as long as you are led of Him. A heart of a savior, and all heart for all waters.
You know, what I just sense in my spirit is that the kind of, let me not say ministers, the kind of believers that God will raise in this end time will be believers that have waters. Waters are conversations. That's what I hear. Waters are conversation. Meaning you've born many conversations. You have the conversation of Christ. You have the conversation of everlasting life. And even the conversation of eternal life. Amen. Now, I love this. And there I find you. Kai, this song is heavy. There I find you. So, you will only find Him in the mystery. So, anybody who hates mystery don't want to find God. So, you can see this song was inspired. Just like you can be inspired, like Cephas was inspired and said, don't you know it's better that one person die for everybody than everybody die for one person? He didn't know he was inspired. And they said, him being a high priest was prophesying, but he did. But it's even bad that they will speak through you and you don't even know that they are speaking through you. But that shows you that God, you can't hinder God or you can't stop Him. If he spoke to a donkey, and you are a man now, donkey and man, it's more difficult to speak to a donkey than to speak to a man. Even if that man has fought God and refused God, God will speak to him. God spoke to Balaam, didn't He? And was Balaam's heart right? His heart wasn't right, but God. And the things he said we are true. Till tomorrow. Those things were authentic prophecy. Prophecy that it will only take the unveiling of the everlasting God. That is the word of everlasting life to begin to really decode the parables of Balaam. Because those things were parables. So he was a man of waters. He was a man of water, so he could tie things. A man of water is a man of mystery. When you look at our daddy reverend, you know he has waters. Sometimes when he answers a question, let me give you an example. You bring him, maybe you bring a question, or not even just a question, his sight over matter. You know, you bring a matter. For you, this is the way you're seeing it. The way he will paint it to you, you know, this one is not, is a function of water. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So you can understand when I say that God wants to raise a generation. If an angel has the voice of many waters, and you're going to be better than angels, then you should carry many waters. These many waters are mysteries. You're supposed to be weaved. Your soul is supposed to be weaved like that to carry mysteries. And those mysteries, he said, a scribe that is well instructed in the kingdom is one who is able to bring both the old and the new. So he has both the old and the new. Amen. He has both the old and the new. So he can bring both the old and the new. So God wants to make sure that we carry waters. So when you are speaking, you have waters. Voice of many waters. They bring you to a place, maybe a church. Maybe there's an open door for you to go and minister in a church. Or speak to brethren who are drinking milk. By the time you finish teaching them the milk they've been... You're not going to be teaching something higher than them, but... The milk which they've been drinking, by the time you open it up for them, they will say, wow, we didn't know it was like this. That's what God is raising us to be. Praise God. And so there I find you in the mystery. So it's in the mystery that you find God. It's in the mystery that you do what? Is in the mystery. Now, when we say you find God in the mystery, what are we actually talking about? You find eternal life in the mystery of God. That is what the voice of that seventh angel had, which they told John, seal it. Because it's a prophecy. You will yet prophesy, but seal it. Why? I just wonder, why did they seal? Say seal. Two people they say seal something. Huh? Two people they said to seal it. One of them was Daniel. But that old Daniel shut up the words. You know, Daniel was also a man of waters. Was a man of waters. His visions were always by the riverside. By the river you lie. Amen. You know, our religious brethren will begin to wonder, are these people not describing water spirits? You know, when you are not properly taught, you won't understand some things. You attribute it to water is simply word. And word is God. When you're seeing water, it's speaking of someone. When you see river, it's speaking of someone. When you see sea, it's speaking of someone. When you see mountain, it's speaking of someone. Am I saying something? It's speaking of someone. It's speaking of a life also. The other day we are talking about Zion. It was a conversation of a life. So when you see water, also is a conversation. So like I said, Daniel was a man of waters. Because it can only take a man of waters to seal up a matter. I love this. He said, and I heard a Look at it. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the river Ulai. So what did he hear? Which called and said, Gabriel, make this man do what? So there was something that, there was a transaction that here was waters, but there was no understanding. But there was a voice, and that voice was with Gabriel. It was a revelation that was with Gabriel. And Gabriel, the voice now said, I perceive, maybe it was either Michael or the Holy Ghost that would have said, make this man. In fact, he said it's a man's voice. Maybe he's the Lord. They said, make this man understand the vision. Meaning open his eyes to understand the vision. So back to the other part of Daniel where we are saying, so they now told Daniel, seal up, shut the words. Pastor, let me ask you a question. If they tell you, shut the word, what will you do? And seal the book. You were, maybe you're prophesying and prophesying and prophesying, thus hear the Lord, like you interpret tongues, and then you now hear, shut the words. What do you think is close my mouth? It's not close my mouth because he continues saying. Daniel still had some things he said, but it's a skill in the spirit. He will code it. Now, that's the skill of people who have waters. He can code it. You will not understand it until the set time. That's what he said. Even to the end of the, or the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, seeking to understand it. Many will run to, and that's what is happening. How many of you have heard about 70 weeks? A lot of people trying to interpret. When we were in Bible school, we had, you know, one of our lecturers who taught eschatology. By the time he finished teaching, I don't know how, his own was so convincing. By the time he finished teaching eschatology, even me, I believed it. He was teaching 70 weeks. By the time he finished teaching 70 weeks, what are they doing? Running to and fro. What are they looking for? They are trying to untie what was locked and sealed. It will not be opened until the throne authorizes it. And when the throne authorizes it, the angel will sound the trumpet. And when he sounds the trumpet, I say when he sounds the trumpet, when that angel sounds the trumpet, it will open. He said, and the mystery of God will be finished. If it's going to be finished, it means that man will embody that conversation. Meaning man will have, because you can't embody what you don't have entrance into. You can't have entrance into what you don't understand. And you don't understand what knowledge has not been brought to you. So, like I said, seal, shut it, seal it. Those are two operations. They are not the same. To shut the word and to now put a seal on it. Now, that seal means that it will take authority. Now, seals are connected to thrones. Seals are connected to thrones. Seals are symbols of the throne. If you shut something and is not sealed, a throne can open it. What I'm just saying is that a higher authority can open it. But if you shut it and seal it, those are two operations. You have to shut it and then you now put a seal on it. That seal means that it will only take the one who sealed it, because seal is ownership. It's a sign of ownership. And of course, the one who owns it is the highest throne. It will only take the highest throne to authorize for these things to be open for man to see it. Hallelujah. Now, I hear in my spirit, it will not be long. Yeah, it will not be long anymore. It will not be long. It will not be long, and these things will begin to sound. These things will begin to open. These things will begin to be unveiled. And the revelation of God will be brought to man. It will sound though. It will sound. It will sound. I love that. He said it's in the day of the seventh angel. Now let's finish this Daniel. Then we go to Revelation. And we begin to consider tying it up. Amen. Are you understanding anything about conversation here? Am I speaking conversation? Because what we are talking about is conversation of everlasting life. Amen. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Praise God. So he sealed it and then shut it up even to the time of the end. So it means that this understanding or this knowledge is for the time of the end. No matter what you do. Did you listen to what I just said now? No matter what you do. If you know the word Jesus said, to them it is not given. If it is not given, if it is not authorized for a man to hear it, you will not hear it. You will hear it and you will not know what you're hearing. Now, it is even to the end of the time. Now, I want to understand this end of time, not just end time. End of time, meaning that it will be to people who have journeyed. People who have journeyed to the end. I mean, they've kept on journeying and journeying to the end. Now, listen, in this book of Daniel, he said the wise will understand. Who are the wise that will understand? The wise will understand. But they that do it, iniquity will not understand. So the wise that understand are those who have journeyed with revelations, that have journeyed with waters. They know the cause of waters that has come to them. They've journeyed with it. To journey with it is to live by that water. To live by that water. To live by that, because all of these waters are waters of life. You see, that is water of life or living waters of life or fountains of living waters. Amen. So they are the wise. They are the ones that constitute the wise that will understand. So in other words, what we want to understand, which is the mystery of God, which is eternal life, because it's locked. Eternal life is locked. Eternal life is sealed. Make this man understand. Make this man understand. They will say, make these people understand. Make these people understand. Just the way they made Daniel to understand. They will say, they will tell Gabriel, make these people understand. Make these people understand eternal life. When you hear, in teaching, maybe a daddy reverend will say, eternal life is an understanding. And you say, is that all? I thought they would have done something to me. No, understanding changes you. Haven't you changed? Are you the kind of person you used to be some 5 years ago, 10 years ago? What is responsible? How did it come? By revelation. You came and you are hearing, and all of a sudden you just discover that you're no more the kind of person you used to be. You know, maybe because it didn't happen miraculously. You know, maybe there was no fire. There was no earthquake. You know, you prefer, maybe you somebody fall down and scream. No, those are manifestations of the Spirit. I like that. He fell down and screamed and shouted and jumped. Like when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was just standing and the boy, he was my junior in class, he laid hands on me and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just standing and then tongues came and I spoke in tongues and spoke in tongues and spoke in tongues. Eventually, I just kept on speaking in tongues and went away speaking in tongues. Then when I met my friend, we are living in the same neighborhood. Not attending the same school, so he wasn't there when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Actually, when I said to myself, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So he said, hey, wow, that's good. He said, did you shout? I said, no. He said, did you jump? I said, no. He said, did you roll on the floor? I said, no, it's not. He said, it's not the Holy Ghost. You know, for him, the sign that you received the Holy Ghost was not just the tongue. It's the gymnastics, the whole thing. Now, but you know, the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Then came a still voice. And it was when the still voice came that everything about Elijah turned around. It was a function of a still voice. That's what I'm talking about. Telling you that you've changed. Let nobody tell you you've not changed. You've changed. If you've not changed, you'll not be here. At least, if there's no sign that you've changed that you can sit down and hear and hear and you're still enjoying it and you'll keep hearing, that you'll be changing gradually and you don't even know that you're changing. One day, you will just realize that certain infirmities that I used to have, the way I will react to this sister, I'm not reacting like that anymore. The way this thing they said to me, if it was the old me, how many of us have said before, the old me. So it means you realize that you are now the new me. So it means you've changed. So when you hear eternal life is an understanding, meaning it's also an understanding that will be brought to you. And you wouldn't know that eternal life, I've held it. You wouldn't know. Now, it won't quickly change your body. If you're looking for a change of body as an evidence, in fact, for me right now, one of the way the Lord hides life is to allow contradictions. That's some of the ways he hides life. He can be doing a whole lot, but he will allow contradictions. That contradiction alone will keep you wondering, like you are talking about, keep you wondering, who did I offend? They are hiding something. They don't want your mind to ever come to the fact that because you have not yet gotten to the end, they want you to continue. And if you know how much life you have gathered, you might be puffed up. So you can see what happened to Paul. Paul had, he didn't just have abundance of revelation. Those abundance of revelation was also, before he can have revelation, abundant. That was a season of many waters for him. That was a season of many waters. Before he could have abundant of revelation, he had revelations.
And those revelations. Now, you fetch a level of revelation with a level of life. There's a level of revelation you can't fetch, you can't touch, if you don't have the life that can access it. That revelation you're seeing has a life that is in it that it will download. But you've got to have life to find life. So there's a measure of life that can give you a push into that understanding. Did you get that? It's a measure of life. So within was abundant of revelation. But they needed to push him further. He had life. He had life. He had waters. He had life. He had a conversation. But they needed to push him into something abundant. So what they did was they allowed contradictions. Contradictions to come to him so that it can hide him. So that he will not be exalted. Now, it's not that, not only, I don't think here it's talking about him exalting himself. Unless I should be. I should be exalted above measure. I should be exalted above measure. So it's not really him. One would say maybe Paul will become proud. No, by reason of his journey, I don't think he will just become proud like that. But there is something revelation does. Listen to me. Revelation shows you in the spirit. Revelation exposes you in the spirit. The way spirits will fight a man that has the revelation of Christ is different from the way they will fight a man that has the revelation of everlasting life. The way they will fight. In fact, as a matter of fact, what you'll be facing are spirits at that level. They are spirits that fight Christ. They are spirits that fight everlasting life. Are you following what I'm saying? So, with him, he had life, but for him not to be exalted above measure, contradiction also, in a way, in this, you know, contradiction, the way the Lord was showing it to me, the way men will look at you with contradiction and say, hey, yeah, Kai, on my show. What did this guy do? Now, that's also the way they see you in the spirit. Spirits will see you and leave you alone. So when spirits fight you, what they're actually trying to do is that thing you have, you should drop it. But the Lord allows certain contradictions to hide it from spirits. Your spirits will come around you and just, he's already in trouble. Just leave him. Maybe he finds some spirits that are gathering around you, troubling you. Maybe he's the Ababa. He actually has the skill to detonate what you have. But he sees his boys, they are wrestling you, and you are like your hand on your head. You're bowed like Moses and Aaron when they wanted to stone them. And the guy will just... I thought this revelation would make him strong. It's not even... Look at the spirits that are dealing with him. Okay. Just go your way. Leave the guy. Just make sure that you guys... Keep him humble. I say keep him humble and I'll keep him poor. Amen. So the guy is just, so some spirits, in the realm of the spirit, you're seen that way. So it hides you. They hide you. Those are skills in the spirit. You can be hidden. So the wisdom of, you know, contradictions is for to hide. That's the wisdom of contradiction. It's basically to hide. So you won't, it will not show. But one of the things the Holy Ghost is telling me is that in that contradiction, the thing will be multiplying. The cells will be dividing and multiplying what is hidden. So the more they contradict, the more the thing is multiplying. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. I said there's coming a day. There's coming a day when your obedience would have been fulfilled. For every one of these revelations or mysteries or conversations, for every conversation, there is a day of full fulfillment of obedience. When your obedience is completed, it will avenge disobedience. It will avenge disobedience. I know somebody said, okay, I'm waiting for that day so that all the troubles around me will finish. But it will avenge disobedience. Disobedience can be avenged and nothing will change around you. You don't like that. These things are so they are. So they are. That, I mean, obedience can be fulfilled by you. Now, when obedience is fulfilled, what you have actually done is that you have deposited into your account in the spirit. Watch those disciples. They kept on increasing in life and in life and in life and in life and in life. They were fulfilling obedience. Disobedience, we are being judged. But the Lord might change some, cushion some things around you. Don't be afraid. What is really more important is that you archive. I'm using Pastor Tayo's English. You archive into your spiritual account a conversation of an overcomer. Meaning you have overcome this level of disobedience. So spirits around that area of disobedience will be dealt with. They will tell them, you know, in wrestling, come, or boxing, you've boxed and it's a knockout. Who knocked the other person out? Eh? Now, I'm just using that as illustration. I'm not saying they knock themselves out. But, you know, at the end, the referee will bring them together. And then the umpire will declare who the winner is. I don't know whether you understand me. Between you and those spirits, in the realm of the spirit, they will raise your hands. He's an overcomer. They will tell those other spirits, go and sit down. He has overcome you. Oh my God. Great. You know what I'm saying? Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. So that's where they actually see the thing. Angels will see, wow, they celebrate. This guy has overcome. Meanwhile, he is in trouble. Thank you. Men are seeing him, beating him, but in the realm of the spirit, they are raising his hand. This guy is an overcomer. Angels shout for him. Wow. Saints, saints that have gone to be with the Lord will be, you know, they pray. You know, they pray in heaven.
I don't know the heaven you think. What do you think heaven? You think heaven is the place where finally all the morning devotions, all the night vigils.
I am free.
Finally, I am free. No more prayer meeting. That's not what they say though. In the book of Revelation, they only say no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more date. They didn't say no more prayer. So if you don't like prayer, then they have prayer meeting for heaven, no. There are just some things that you need to know about heaven. You just need to know. You know, when they see a saint, especially company, because as you're journeying in Zion, you are being registered in heaven. They know you in heaven. I prefer to be known in heaven than here. They know you in heaven. Because as you're journeying, you will come into companies. Maybe men who, before they passed on to be with the Lord, they've trapped a particular kind of conversation that gave them a place in the spirit. When you're still here, you've not gone. But when you arrive, or when you are arriving there, when you are arriving, you're fighting the warfare that will break you through into that dimension. They are watching you. They are called cloud of witnesses. Look at it. We are foreseen that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of these are witnesses. These are men at the particular realm that have passed on, but they have trapped some conversation, and they see you fighting your wars and your battle contradiction. You're wanting to lay hold on what they have laid hold on. Like they told Joshua, the son of Josedek, I will give you a place among these that stand. You know, it says, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset us. But I want you to see, there are cloud of witnesses. So what I was actually trying to make you see is that when you're fighting, sometimes they give those company a privilege to see what is going on. They watch us. They don't know when you buy a car. It doesn't record. They don't know when you made the latest suit. You know, the suit. They don't know. They don't know when you built a house. Those are not the things that concern them. But when they see a man who is warring to overcome, trapping conversations in the midst of contradictions, and is able to hold it, and he's holding it, and spirits are giving him blow, front, back, right, left, center, knocking him on the head. The guy is holding it and will not relinquish. Let go of this life. Let go of this conversation. He's a lie. I must. So he that endureth to the end shall be saved. By the time you are going through it, they are praying. Lord, strengthen him. Send your angels. They pray. They pray to God. Some people are wondering, this thing pastor is teaching is one kind. Are you now supporting that thing that colleagues say, since so and so pray for us? Who taught them that thing? Have you ever wondered who taught them? They pray. It's not a lie. They pray. If the angel was praying, the angel was standing upon the altar and was praying, you think saints would just be there eating apple, eating cucumber, eating, wow, heaven at last, drinking, you know, no. What's the essence of tabernacle? Tabernacle is for prayer. But they are praying for you. So let them pray for you. So like I said, I was just showing you the drama, because I'm painting today. I was just showing you the drama of an overcomer. So they raise his hands in the spirit, and saints that have been praying for you, who have been waiting, you were down, they were giving you blow. It looks like you're going to faint and you're going to be out, but you are all they want you to do, just hold on. Just hold it. And they are giving, someone will say, fight them. No, don't fight them. Just hold it. They are blowing you. You're still holding it. Leave it. No. It's burning you here, but you're holding it. You're ignoring all the pain. You're holding it. Eventually, you would have fulfilled the time. Because all of it has its gestation period. You would have finished it. When you finish it, you would just hear a sound of celebration. Those spirits themselves will leave you. And they will raise your hand and say, he has won. And saints, he overcame. Saints will jubilate. Angels will shout, wow, here comes another overcomer. Come in. We'll give you a place among these that stand. Before, you didn't have a place there, but now we'll give you a place among these that stand, because there are people who are standing there. They are grandstands in the realm of the spirit. And that may happen, like I said, and things around you, natural things, might not necessarily change, but God in his infinite mercy can change things in the natural, but it's not basically for the natural. The natural can, in fact, the natural can be so good. In fact, when you are not having any warfare, any journey, any of those things, the natural is even better. You don't like that. You know, there's a plain of Sodom. I mean, the plain of Jordan. The plain of Jordan is just near Sodom. The harvest is green there. The harvest is always, it's always green. Praise God. It's always green there. Very green. Very green. Green. And that green is to attract you. So I just imagine somebody, you know, snapping selfie on that green and then sending to you. And then you are in, like Pastor was teaching, an arranged leading, subjective leading, and they are snapping selfie. Maybe making videos and how they are singing, maybe dancing with milkshake beside swimming pool. And then sending it to you, and you are in heaviness because of manifold temptations. Amen. Are you seeing pictures? Now, all of that is to make you ask more questions. What did I do? Why is my life like this? How many of us have asked, why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? Now, that's how the life of anybody who is journeying, that's going up. Why is my life like this? No, they want to take a particular, what they are actually taking is, what is called, why is my life like this? The real translation, according to my own translation, is why is my debt like this? Because it's actually arranged to collect debt. Is debt you are calling my life? They've arranged it to collect your debt. So while they are collecting your debt, you're saying, why is my debt like this? Because they are giving you life. And they'll keep giving you life. And keep giving you life. So, my story goes like this. So, the surrounding didn't change so much. And then all of a sudden, another waters begins to visit. It's called wellspring from on high. Begins to visit. And that, you see that wellspring from on high that visited you, you've just overcome, that you've come to a height. And they've celebrated you in the realm of the spirit. And you know, the thing about it is that you won't even know when they are celebrating you. Saints are rejoicing, angels are happy, but the guy is just treating his wounds, the scars. He's cleaning himself from the lying on the ground for a long time. Amen. You're watching movie, right? Yes, that's what they said I should paint. So you're cleaning it as you're cleaning it, you know. All of a sudden, another word for wellspring is a time of refreshing that will come from the throne. In Acts of the Apostles, he called it times of, it's times, not time, times of restitution or times of refreshing. So there are times. Every water that comes is for to refresh you. Have you ever been very thirsty, tired in a hot afternoon? You've worked so much, and then you now you're passing somewhere, and probably you are thirsty, and then you now see on the billboard this Coca-Cola that is sweating. How many of us have seen it? No, you know, in the rainy season, that Coca-Cola that is sweating will not mean anything to you. But in a dry, hot season, and you've walked, and you've not had water to drink, and then you are just, and all of a sudden you're passing there, and you just see one, the Coca-Cola on the big board that is sweating, your taste will increase. Amen. But let me say to you, at that moment, it's not Coca-Cola you actually need. What you need is water. Just go and drink good water. If it's pure water, amen. 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 I'm not spoiling business for people, though. What you need is water. So that same way, I want you to see it in the realm of the spirit. The guy has just fought and fought and fought and fought, and he has climbed and declared a winner. And as he won, he didn't even know he has won. And all of a sudden, refreshing time, another time of refreshing, a wellspring from on high visits him. What is visiting him? Understanding, revelation visits him again. Light comes. He feels strengthened, because the refreshing is on the inside, that you might be strengthened. He will grant you according to the revelation you're hearing to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. So it is in your inner man you get strengthened. You will be strengthened. When you are strengthened, it's like people who are boxing. After round one, you go and sit down. They give you water and you drink. Then you come out again. Amen. Now, but this one is not, you finish that your disobedience. You've overcome. But now they'll bring you another formidable opponent. Then another warfare breaks out. You have to fight. So Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Can you say it to me? Say it again. Say it with me again. So the good fight of faith continues until you lay hold on eternal life. What did I say? Say with me again. So you keep fighting and fighting and fighting. Don't give up on the way. Keep fighting. The day you lay hold on eternal life, that is the day the mystery of God has, in other words, should be finished, is should be fulfilled. Meaning, it's when I say it's finished in Pastor Tilash, what it means is that it has been fulfilled in him. Meaning, he's now having it as a life. He has fought in that season of embodying the conversation. He has fought and fought. Now, from the beginning of the mystery of Christ, that is when you begin the good fight of faith. You have to fight it and continue and continue and continue until you lay hold on eternal life. Don't relent, because whereunto you have been also called and has professed a good profession. You've been professing profession. Another word for profession is conversation. You have borne conversations among witnesses that has that conversation. So you move from a company to another company. From the company of Christ to the company of everlasting life, brethren. From the company of everlasting life, brethren, to the company of those who are looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. You come to that. By the time you get there, and you've laid hold on eternal life, that is when warfare ceases. That's also what Hebrews was talking about. For he that has entered into rest has ceased from his own works. Your own works is the warfare to embody conversations. When you enter, then your works is finished. Whew. Amen. 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 Can I hear you say waters? So let me tie it together. Now, in the book of John, that's how they took me today. Far, 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 far. What I planned to teach was Enoch. But they didn't allow me to go there. Maybe next time we'll talk about Enoch. It was a wonderful conversation Enoch had. Amen. And then understanding it with the... It was a conversation. Just touch it a little bit so that I can whet your appetite. Maybe they'll allow us to open it. It was a conversation. What I liked about that conversation, he said, he was not. Because who took him? Who took him? I didn't hear you. Who? Who? So who is God? Eternal life. He mirrored for us a conversation. Because eternal life also takes. Eternal life can take you. Now, he was taken physically that he should not see death. But you see, it's not necessarily for us in relating it with our own, transaction in Christ. It's not necessarily physical death. There are deaths. Meaning, he had a walk with God. And he was able to embody conversations and conversations, because each conversation you embody is life and life, until he got to the point where it's written concerning him that God took him, meaning eternal life took him. So eternal life is waiting to take many of us. Eternal life took him, and he said, and he was... you need to understand Bible, the import of the voice that is upon that water. He said, and was not, for God took him. How can you say somebody was not? Somebody was not. It is in the same vein that they talked about
Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, having no beginning of days, nor end of life. You said the person was not. He was not. Why? Who took him? Eternal life took him. They want to take us. Well, let's examine these waters. So I talked about the water in the book of John. John chapter 4. Give us that place while we tie the thoughts together. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. What will he give you? What will he give you? I'm not hearing you. Say it again with me. So what is living water? What is living water? Huh? You know it now. Say it. I'm not hearing you say it. What is living water? So did he give everlasting life to the woman? But he gave the woman another water. Because he had waters. He had waters. He was a man of many waters. So when he's speaking parables, he's a demonstration of waters. So he gave the woman the water that she can drink. You know, there's a water you will drink, you start coughing. Because you don't have a system that can take the water. So they couldn't have given her living water. Otherwise, she will not have strength to stand up from there, to enter the city, to go and tell the people what she has seen. So they have to give her water that she can take. And if that water she took changed her and wrought that miracle in her life, how much more the living water? Another place we now saw the living water being given. Let's finish it. The next verse. For the water that I shall give unto you. The woman asks, from whence will you give me that water, living water? But Jesus said, the water that I shall give unto thee, amen. The water that I shall give unto thee shall be in thee. But the whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be... Where will the water be? I'm not hearing you. Where will the water be? Where will the water be? In him. The water will be in him. Can you say the water will be in me? Meaning the water will be my life. So that water is a conversation. When you see waters, there is waters move. They demonstrate. It's a conversation. What are they demonstrating? They're demonstrating a voice. So it will be in him a water. I love that. A water that I shall give to him shall be a well. So when he enters into him, it becomes a well in him. That water has ability to spring up. Spring up. So the water becomes a spring. A lift up to everlasting life. Amen. It will be a lift. When I put that water in you, it will be a lift. What will make it a lift? This is simply what I saw. What will make it a lift into everlasting life is because of the voice that is upon that water. So the voice will keep speaking and speaking and speaking. As that voice is speaking to you, it's springing you up. It's springing you up until you break into everlasting life.
But in the book of Revelation, we now saw another water. Revelation chapter 22. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, we also saw a company of people that just came. They just came. They just came out from the great tribulation. Amen. They just came out from the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes in white. The Bible said, and the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall lead them, and shall feed them, and then shall lead them. Where will he lead them? Where will he lead them? Where will he lead them? I'm dancing. Where will he lead them? Oh, I'm dancing. Where will he lead them? Oh, you don't understand. Where will he lead them? Oh, my. Oh, my God. So I contend that this present church that is seeking to be raptured, I contend that they will have to go through this. They will be purified. Pastor, are you saying that you don't believe in pre-trib rapture? Amen. Now, you don't understand what I'm saying. My pastors understand what I'm saying. You know, right now, that's the warfare that is going on amongst those who are, who are looking for the second coming of the Lord. Some say it is pre-tribulation. And some say it's mid-tribulation. And some say it's post-tribulation. But I say to you, and I say to you again, that this Revelation chapter 7 will be fulfilled upon the church. I can give you scriptures supporting this. It will be fulfilled upon the church. There is coming a time of great trouble that will come upon all men that live upon the earth. It will come upon all men that live upon the earth. It's coming. Both believers and unbelievers. But we have a promise also. In the same book of Revelation, he said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that is coming to trouble all men. And Jesus said, there shall be great tribulation, such as has never been since the world and will ever be. There's great tribulation. I've always told them, I said, can you differentiate between tribulation, great tribulation, because there's tribulation, there's great tribulation, and because what confuses them is the Antichrist. The Antichrist didn't come with tribulation. The Antichrist came with peace. Prosperity, peace. Food, nyafu nyafu. How to multiply food. How to make you live a better life. So is a solution man. Economic solution, military solution. People will not, nations will not fight again. They will gather together. But that's not the peace of God. It's not the peace that God promised that nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their listening into pruning hooks. It's not that peace. But he will unite the nations and tell them, don't fight again. Let's focus on how to enhance humanity. Nimrod. That's the kind of Antichrist that we'll have. Is a Nimrod. So you need to be able to. The only thing is that the church will withstand him, and he will begin to kill and harm believers. That's that small horn in the book of Daniel. And the horn prevailed against the saints of the Most High. But there came a time when judgment was given to the saints and the kingdom, and the saints possessed the kingdom. And Jesus now said in the book of Matthew, after those days, that's after the days of that tribulation that he prophesied about, he said he would send his angels into the four corners of the earth to gather the saints. So in this book of Revelation chapter 7, you're now seeing the gathering of those saints. By the time they are gathered, where would they be led to? Fountains of living water. What you're learning right now, they will bring multitude to come and learn it. But for you, you now say, what's the purpose of me learning it now? I will keep you in the hour of temptation that is coming to try all men. That's the promise. I will keep you. So there's a keeping that is waiting for you in that season. And that keeping is the sealing that they are putting on your forehead by reason of the understanding that is coming to you. So the final water is the water in the book of Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure, he called it a pure. So you see how he qualified it? Pure river of water of life. The other ones have been waters. But this one is one. Pure river. Like this is a main water. A pure river of water. The other ones have been waters. Water of life. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And what will he do? And in the midst of the, that talked about the trees that is appear. Which are the trees? Eternal life trees. Then go for that. And there shall be no more. I'm not hearing. Let's read it together. Want to go? Meaning the throne of God and of the Lamb will be their conversation. And his servants shall serve him. So there's a service that will now begin to serve by the time we come here, we get here. There's a service that will now serve him. And then what will happen after serving him? And we will now see his face. So without that service, we will not see his face. And we'll see his face. And then the final seal. Christ is a seal. The Father is a seal. Eternal life is a seal. So all of these seals have their mysteries. If they have their mysteries, they have their waters. They won't seal you if you don't carry water. You have to carry their waters. Then you will be qualified for to be sealed. Who will be sealed? Yes. I'm not hearing you will be sealed. Yes. I'm saying there's coming a day when you will hear that voice. It's a voice. Can you say it's a voice? It's a voice. You will hear that. Who will hear that voice? Yes. In the day of the voice of the seventh angel. So there's something they gave to him in that voice. It's a mystery. So when he begins to sound, what is being sounded are mysteries. And it's called the mystery of God. When his sound begins to sound it, it will be fulfilled in us. I said it will be fulfilled in you. You're not hearing me. I said that word, that voice will be fulfilled in me. I don't know if that what you're looking for? You know, somebody's coming newly and you'll say, what kind of church is this that I entered into today? What kind of church am I in? What are they talking about? Waters, mystery, all of that. That's what they are doing to you. In fact, you don't know where you are. If you're coming from, you're coming for the first time. You just entered into a mist of beings. You just, this, what you're experiencing, if you're here, you will notice that there's an atmosphere here. What you're experiencing is actually Zion. These are Zion conversation. What you're experiencing, if you check, if you are a believer and you've not been here in this church before and you just came newly, don't be discouraged that I don't understand what they are saying. It's just like you entering into the church of the firstborn. Church of the firstborn. Where they are talking about things that are majestic, things of great importance. And you have a need and you felt, okay, maybe if I just come to this church, they told me that this church, the people who are here, they are serious with God and they will pray for me. I'm saying being in this place, you are supposed to forget that need. Forget that need. I just find in my spirit to say to you, if you're here for the first time, and you're wondering, what are they saying? These things are too deep to understand. And the Lord said, I will give you a sign. The need, you will come and testify, you will come and tell me, because I know I'm talking to somebody. The need you came here with is already taken care of. Oh, you don't know where you entered. You thought you just entered church. I didn't know which church to go today. Maybe I was already going late and I just decided to. I saw, you know, somebody told me such. He met me in the wedding. He asked me after hearing when I finished joining. Now, she now asked me, said, which church is this? I said, Near Living Way Church. Where is your address? I say, okay, right now we are in 559 Ikorodu Road. 559 Ikorodu Road. Okay, that place. Because she lives in Ketu. She used to come out at this bus stop to enter bus to go to her church. She will now see, she said, I used to see young people. I used to see youths. They would just be trooping, crossing the road. I'm wondering, okay, that, no wonder. That's the church. And then you are here. And then you just entered into, like you entered into Church of Seraphims. You don't understand what they are talking about. The call. This is the voice will purify you. But even that need you have that is a challenge to you, I hear the Lord say it has been taken care of. Go in peace. It has been taken care of. Because the Lord is mindful of you, wants you to come again. That need is not the issue. That need just drove you here. That need is bothering you, but it just brought you here. The real need is to lay hold on eternal life. This is the real need of man. How many of us are blessed today? Let's give God praise. Let's give Him thanks. Let's bless His name forever.
By the new and living way. We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for